From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute is equip God's people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. And as I've said on previous broadcasts, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Recall Richard Dawkins, who puts down God, and I've played the clip on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He claims that God breaks into a monumental rage whenever his chosen people flirted with a rival God. Oprah Winfrey said that she too was turned off when she heard a preacher affirm that God is jealous. Bill Maher has said much the same thing. He said that being jealous about having other gods before you isn't just moral. The new atheists consider Yahweh to be impatient, to be jealous, to be easily provoked, to be petty, and an insecure deity. When you listen to Bill Maher or Richard Dawkins talk about God and hear them characterize God in the way that they do, particularly when they use the word jealous, it's really important that we learn to define our terms, because jealousy, as Paul Copan points out in his book, Is God a Moral Monster, can be a bad thing or it can be a good thing. It's bad to protect the petty. It's good to fiercely guard the precious. If jealousy is rooted in self-centeredness, it is clearly the wrong kind of jealousy. A jealousy, however, that springs from concern for someone else's well-being is appropriate. So yes, jealousy can be a vice, but it can also be a virtue, a godly jealousy. As Paul put it, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I am betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Paul was concerned for the well-being of the Corinthian Christians, and therefore his jealousy didn't spring from hurt pride or self-concern. And throughout the Bible, we see a God who is a concerned lover. He's full of anguish and dismay when his covenant people pursue non-gods. As Paul Copan points out, when we pursue that which isn't God, it's kind of like a dog drinking out of a toilet bowl. The dog might think that it doesn't get any better than this, but fails to recognize that instead of enjoying fresh spring water, what's happening is he is settling, as we do, for the stagnant, the crummy-tasting substitutes of life that inevitably fail us. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Roger. He's listening in California. Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Great, great. Praise the Lord for your ministry. My question is, when a demon is cast out, whether it's an example with the swine and the pigs going to the lakes, where does the demon go? Because I know I've heard you talk before that, to ask where is a spirit is it's kind of hard, but when a spirit possesses something and then it no longer possesses that thing, what happens to that demon?
Yeah. Well, a demon is said to be where a demon acts. And what demons do by nature is they destroy and they pillage and they prompt people towards wickedness. So demons, as it were, will sit on our shoulders and whisper into our ears. Again, I'm using metaphorical language, but this is a very real temptation. Though the temptation cannot be heard with the physical ear, it can penetrate the ear of the mind. And Jesus speaks about evil spirits when he says that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest, and he doesn't find it. And then the evil spirit says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first condition of that man. Now, the point there is that often demons return if, in fact, the house is unoccupied. Of course, the antidote to that biblically is to receive Jesus Christ, and then your temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple which will not be shared with a demon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and God bless you in your ministry, and I give financially, and my wife and I keep you in your ministry and your family in prayer. So God bless you.
Deeply appreciated. Thank you so much, Roger. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nicole. She's listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you so much for taking my call. I truly appreciate it.
You got it.
I have been doing a lot of studying. The main thing that I would like to know is I found out, you know, that God's name is not God. That is just a title. Just like Jesus, it's transliterated, so that's not his true name either. What is God's true name? What is Jesus' true name? And how can I tell my family and friends in a loving way, like, to discern from the false prophets and to actually acknowledge, you know, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, and his Son in the true way?
Now, a couple of things. I think it's really important that regardless of the words that we use, that the meaning we pour into the words are those which represent biblical truth. So if you look at Yahweh, Yahweh actually comes from what's called the Tetragrammaton. In other words, in the Old Testament, people did not want to mention the name of God. It was unspeakable. So all you had is consonants. You didn't have vowels. So even the pronunciation that I'm using is somewhat gratuitous in that without the vowels, it's unpronounceable. But there's a reason for that. God was altogether holy and apart, and therefore people feared the holiness of God such that they did not want to say the name of God. So again, the Tetragrammaton represents the name of God. The name Yahweh carries with it the concept of eternal self-existence, and as such, it is not only applied to God the Father, but is also applied in the same sense to Jesus Christ. For example, in Romans 10, calling on Yahweh and calling on Jesus Christ are equated, which demonstrates that Jesus Christ is God. But there are also many titles for God. Adonai is the title of God. Lord of Lords.
That's my dilemma right there, is because in Jeremiah, he speaks specifically about how they call out the god Chemosh and Molech and Baal and things like that. And God specifically said, you know, my name is above all names, and you need to know that. If you do not call on my true name or my son's name, then you're not praying to me.
Right,
so
but remember, it's
God,
not the
like
word that you use. It's the meaning that you pour into the word. For example, there are Christians who are Arabs who worship the true God of the Bible, but they call that true God Allah. Now, that word Allah, used in a Christian sense, has all the meaning that comes from the Bible packed into it. But if you're a Muslim Arab, You can use that same word, Allah, but you have all the meaning that's poured into the Quran, packed into that word. So what's important is not the word, but the meaning that's poured into the word.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an important concept.
From all the Bibles and the research that I've done, I'm not getting that. What I'm getting is God saying he is different from all gods, from every false god that we have ever, from the Israelites to the Hebrews to the generations now. I mean,
of course he is, because all of them are fake gods. All of them are gods who cannot speak, gods who cannot act, gods who cannot tell what is going to happen in the future. And God sets himself apart from the false gods, because he is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And throughout the Bible, he's the God who says what is going to happen in the future. And that comes to pass, demonstrating that this is, in fact, the real God. Much more could be said, but we are, unfortunately, up against a heartbreak. Be right back in just a few moments.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More today to find out and experience for yourself the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, I want to talk to Nancy. She's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate what you do. I am transsexual, I believe, and I'd like to know if I'm destined, you know, so I've heard this, am I destined for hell? And if that happens to be the answer, do I continue, you know, is it okay to continue to worship Christ?
Well, Nancy, if you're worshiping Christ, if you love Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ was in fact God in human flesh, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And what you say ultimately is that Jesus Christ, being the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb as God in human flesh, Jesus Christ is the one you want to follow. You want to follow his principles. You want to follow his precepts. And if you are sincerely one who wants to follow him, even though perhaps at this point you don't fully understand all of his principles and precepts, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Conversely, if you say, you know what, whatever Jesus says, well, that's fine, but I think that what I believe or what someone else believes in the modern-day culture is more important than what Jesus believed, then you're not really a follower of Jesus Christ. So the real issue is, are you genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ? If you are, he receives us as we are. We all have warts and moles and wrinkles. I'm talking about myself in particular. I have my own sins, and I continue to struggle with sin. Paul, a great exemplar to all of us, had sin and struggled with sin, but he was a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, he told his young protege, Timothy, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. So I think the real issue ultimately is not are you going to go to hell because of your behavior, but do you want to change your behavior because you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ? So you may not have a full apprehension of what Christ would have you do, but you're saying, I'm following him, so whatever I understand is his will for my life, that's what I want. If that's the case, then he's not going to turn you away. He's going to sanctify you.
Well, if I may, Hank, if he's going to change me from the inside and I want to follow Christ, am I to look for my belief that I'm transsexual to change, or is that up in the air sort of thing?
If you really love Jesus Christ, then you want to know what Jesus Christ taught, because you want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. You want to embrace his life as your own life. So the kind of life that you ultimately want to live is a life that's pleasing to him, so that your temple, your body, so that the metaphysical aspect of your humanity is conformed to his image. And that is a process. It's a process for all of us. But Jesus doesn't look down his nose at any one of us. Not you, not me, not anyone else. By the way, have you had a sex change surgery?
No.
Well, I'm glad
I've been on hormones for years now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an article that I want to send you, Nancy, that I think would be very helpful to you. It's actually titled The Transsexual Dilemma, and it's a dialogue about the ethics of sex change. It was written by Joe Dallas, and he is one of the most compassionate people I know who really understands this field as well as anyone on the planet. He himself was involved in the homosexual lifestyle for many, many years. So I think his article could be very, very helpful to you.
Okay. Well, I'd appreciate that.
May I pray for you?
Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for Nancy. Lord, I thank you that Nancy is expressing a desire to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that your love is so much greater than sometimes our love is, that your compassion reaches those that sometimes we turn our nose up at. I thank you, Lord, that you're our example. And Lord, I pray that I might follow your example. I pray that Nancy, too, might want to full throttle follow you, to do it your way. And Lord, I pray that in the end that Nancy finds peace in the midst of life's storms. Oh Lord, I pray that you would surround Nancy with people that genuinely love her. And Lord, I do pray as well that you would raise them up as a standard of your grace. Nothing is impossible for you, and so we pray all of this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By the way, the article that I was talking about is an article by Joe Dallas, and following the course blazed by their gay predecessors, the advocates of transsexualism are advancing their cause through the American Psychiatric Association and the education and legal systems, as well as through the media. And the predictable outcome is increased acceptance of transsexualism and intense pressure on those who dissent, which underscores the need for Christians to articulate biblical responses to the pro-transsexual arguments. And that's what Joe Dallas does, but he does it with tremendous compassion. We need to live in accord with our assigned sex, recognizing that feelings, not one sex, are often the problem. In fact, they are the ultimate problem. And we live our lives not based on our feelings, but rather on God's sovereign premises for our lives. Got to leave it at that. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Peter in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Hank. My question is, how would you respond to someone who is arguing for a young earth with the appearance of age, using the water-to-wine miracle?
Well, I don't think it's a good argument. The notion that the universe is not authentically old but merely appears to be old, I think, creates more conundrums than it solves. And I don't think that a good teacher, and Jesus was the ultimate good teacher, would ask a student to put faith in a textbook that is intentionally filled with lies. I think that the very fact that we can do science is predicated on the fact that God is not capricious. I mean, the Greeks could never do science. They could codify the laws of logic, but they couldn't do science. The reason they couldn't do science well is because they believed that the universe was ministered by moody gods, capricious gods, or gods that would fail to give us full information. But when we look at the universe in which we live, we don't think that that universe is lying to us or deceiving us. If we did, again, we would have a hard time doing empirical science.
And I appreciate that. And I've heard your illustration about being able to see the stages of stars from millions of light years away, and that makes a lot of sense to me. But wouldn't it be deceptive to have something that would have taken, under normal circumstances, months to age?
But I don't think that's deceptive at all. I mean, it's not intended to be deceptive. What it is a very clear indication of the miraculous that Jesus Christ can and does suspend the very laws that he sets up as normative in the universe. Miracles are non-normative experiences. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them miracles. I don't think, though, the fact that Jesus Christ did a miracle means that we can't do science. What
right.
we're saying is that we have to allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what we encounter in the universe that we experience.
Okay. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate your call. With that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Time flies, and we never take for granted the opportunity to answer your questions right here on the show Monday through Friday. And it's all made possible by people that love this ministry, that support this ministry, that pray for this ministry. Without your support, we couldn't do what we do. And we do offer resources to you, not as a give-to-get scheme. Rather, we offer those resources to you as a means of saying thank you, but also as a means of equipping you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. As we close the broadcast, remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks again for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.